continuing on the theme of how I spent my summer vacation, last week on Thursday, my friend John, who has been here and you have met before from Baltimore, he came in and we picked him up at the airport and we went and played golf, and then we drove up north to Long Lake, which is north of Alpena, Michigan. And these are all, there's four of us, myself, John, and two other guys, and we were all graduates of Michigan State, all there at the same time, and have been lifelong friends. Myself, Steve, and Gene Friedman. Gene is a Brooklyn Jew currently living in Madison. So when we get together, it's always very interesting discussions because we are different on everything. Religion, politics, families, I mean, we just, you know, it sort of goes on and on and on and on. But we spent a lot of time, this is Thunder Bay. Thunder Bay comes in on Alpena off Lake Huron. It's the graveyard of the Great Lakes. We went on a glass-bottom boat ride and looked at shipwrecks. We went fishing. We has this big party barge that's a pontoon boat with a big engine, and went around, went swimming, went fishing, and just basically did nothing from Wednesday until Sunday when we came home. And it was, I can't remember the last time when I just did something like that, where you had no timetable, no agenda, nothing. And we just hung out, made campfires, and ate good food, and spent time with good friends. But the interesting thing was, I had read the reading and had been thinking about the reading in the midst of this, and all three of these guys are very successful. They either inherited money or worked in businesses where they made a lot of money or still make a lot of money. And they're all, you know, they're retiring. So they're coming to kind of an end of the journey. Now, I don't drink, so I'm the one that sort of remains sober and listens closely to what everybody says after they've had a couple scotches. Well, they started talking about their respective retirement plans and basically finances, and usually people don't talk about that, except when they've been drinking and they're trying to impress one another. And I was very impressed. I mean, the one guy paid more in taxes last year than I made in the last 10 years. I mean, you know, they got this place on the lake and this, you know, everything's paid for. Don't have anything to worry about. And I started to feel just a little bit jealous. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, you know. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I got my uncle pumping out Social Security, and that's kind of the party. And then these guys are like, they're very well-to-do. And I was feeling kind of jealous. I was. And then I got a call Friday evening from Janelle. Now, Janelle's one of her best friends, and they've been friends since she was Zoe's age. Like, they met when they were 3 and 4, and their houses were next to one another. And as little kids, like 3 and 4, they were allowed to walk through the hedge between the properties to go back and forth. And Jane and her husband David lived in Pompano Beach, Florida. And David had a nursery up on the other side of the state, and they grew the palm trees and all the Florida stuff and sold the nursery, and the nursery was about an hour and a half from where they lived. So usually during the week he stayed at the nursery and then came home. And Janelle usually goes down there once a year and they spend time together. And Jane is one of Janelle's best friends. And they've been up, I know them, and we've spent time together. And David is also a Spartan and grew up in East Lansing, and his family owned one of the local pubs in town that we frequented as misspent youth. So kind of indirectly probably even met him at some time when I was in school. And remember the context, I'm sort of feeling just a little bit ouchy about the fact that these other guys that got all this stuff and money and finances and seem to have life by the tail. I get a call from Janelle, and she says that David and Jane, David was at the nursery, and he's my age, and David called Jane and said, I'm here at the gate, I'm closing the gate to the nursery, should be home in about an hour, hour and 20 minutes, I'm just leaving, love you, see you in a bit. She says, okay, love you. They hang up. Tap on David's shoulder. It's Jesus. Says, come home. Jane gets a call. David's laying dead at the gate. Well, that put my thought process in a little bit different perspective, especially in light of the gospel. Because the word that is in Greek that is used when the Lord says to the man building the barns, you fool, in Greek the word is moron. You moron. Don't you know that this night your life will be required of you? The one thing you never see in a funeral procession is a moving van. You don't see a U-Haul, do you? We can't take it with us. You never know when. And I said to Janelle, what was the exact content of their discussion? Because we know that the last voice other than Jesus that David heard was his wife's, and the last voice that she heard was his from him, the last conversation. What was the exact nature of the conversation? How would my conversation change with people around me if I knew it was the last time I would be speaking to them? Because again, the one thing you never see in a funeral procession is a U-Haul. Earlier in different places in the gospel, we are warned for the fires of Gehenna to call anyone a fool or a moron, to speak ill of them. We are told, but yet God calls this person a moron. What are you worrying? Why are you doing all this stuff? So I think the real question for me as I reflected on this was, you know, it's not bad to have stuff. I mean, there isn't anything intrinsically evil in being wise and investing and doing what we need to do to be secure. I mean, that's a part of the reality of our life. But I think the real issue is, what's the primary motivation? Why are we doing what we're doing? And are we doing what God has called us to do? What is our mission? And you know, as we look around this room, outside of maybe three people, we're more toward the upper end. We've got a few that are in the middle and a few that are kind of starting, two or three at the beginning. But most of us, you know, we might not be there yet, but we can see the gates from here. What is ours to do? Thank you. You know, I just had this vision of David standing there, and all of a sudden, oh. And then you look back and you're dead. And the real issue isn't going to be, what have I accumulated in my barns? How much do I have in the bank? What kind of pension do I get? What kind of social security do I get? How, you know, and all that stuff that we worry about, and even the first reading today talks about that anxiety and that worry. And, you know, I mean, it makes sense to me that some of us that are at that point worry about that stuff. But is that really what I need to worry about? Shouldn't I be worried about what has God called me to do at this point in my life? What has God called me to do? It may be to be an example of faith in the midst of your family. You know, what has God called Helen to do in terms of her husband and her children? Maybe to be that rock, that example of faith, that person of prayer. What has God called Steve and Kim to do in terms of their girls? What is God calling Morgan to do as she looks at continuing on through school and on? People say to young folks, what are you going to do when you grow up? What are you going to study in school? Where are you going to go? And you think about it and you look at it. Somewhere in the conversation of not even only young people, what are you going to do when you grow up? I'm still trying to figure that out, right? Some of us are. The real question is, what does God want me to do? What is God calling me to do at this point in my life? What is God calling Glenn to do? Sue, Mary Lou, Don, Joe. What are we called to do? And I don't think it's to squirrel away sticks. To get another, I mean, you know, one business that didn't exist in the 60s, storage units. They didn't have them. Isn't it amazing? You look at older homes, you can't find a closet. Because folks didn't have that much stuff to squirrel away. Now, not only do we have to have big closets and garages and attics, but we got to get storage units to pull all our stuff in. And after a week or two, we don't even remember what's there. What is God calling you to do? Not only to do, and probably the real question is, who is He calling you to be? Because when you know your being before God, your doing before God becomes clear. Who is God calling me, Randy, to be? What is He calling me to do at 66 years old? That's a key question of my faith, and each one of us have to answer that. And it was a real wake-up call. Because I was feeling envious and jealous of my friends that had a whole lot more than I did. And I was grumbling to God. I was. And then it's like, oh, let me show you something. Okay. So at some point, the end of August, beginning of September, I'll probably be going to Florida for a funeral. May the Lord bless us all and open our hearts to His will. May we realize that our commitment to Jesus and to his people has so much more to do than how you hold your hands when you pray or how much money you have in the bank or how much property you own or how big your barns are. But it has everything to do with the quality and the character of your heart before the Lord. And when you lay that heart before the Lord, he will teach you who you are and what you are to do at every and any point of your life. And may that be our daily prayer. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon us and remain forever.